Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey! Welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today's guest is the fantastic Kevin Colley. Now, we are going to be talking about He's Just There. He is just there on the screen. And when me and Kevin had a chat about a few bits a couple of weeks ago, it's probably about a month ago now, actually, we just got on really well. And there was loads of synergy, loads of ideas that kind of came between us, came across. And I needed to get him on the show because Kevin helps. And I've got his LinkedIn profile. If you haven't connected with him yet, please connect with him now. But he helps ambitious artisan craft people and small retail businesses to get and keep the right numbers of customers so they can reach their goals. Now, that's doing him a massive injustice because he's just a golden bloke. And please, if you haven't connected with him yet, please do. Kevin, how are you doing, buddy? How are you getting on?
Oh, well, thank you for that very, very warm welcome, Gary. You know, I really appreciate that. I'm very good. I'm really good, actually. It's been an exciting week because obviously this week is the first week that a lot of businesses have actually been able to reopen. You know, it's a massive, massive milestone for everybody. You know, because we've all been sort of hanging on for dear life, and suddenly we can breathe. You know, we can breathe at last, which is a fantastic moment. Obviously, there's still some businesses which are unfortunately still shut. You know, we must not forget that. But their reopening time will come later on, be it the end of April or May, whenever it is up to is due for them. So, you know, good luck to those as well.
Brilliant. And I completely echo that. I was with a client yesterday who helps a small number of businesses in the local area, and there was quite a lot of optimism, a lot of kind of anticipation still, a few bit of nervousness on a few people's parts because they haven't been open for 4 months. You know, it's been, you know, that does change your psyche quite a bit. But there was a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, which is really good. I think that's only going to build as long as the roadmap keeps going as it is.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I was in town yesterday, and you know, it was fantastic to see, you know, shops actually open, you know, and people were on the high streets actually shopping and spending money. You know, so obviously it was kind of weird, you know, in one way, because I've only sort of been down to like go to the post office or the bank, and that. So everything's sort of been short and it's been quiet, and there's not been many people there, and you know, to sort of go down sort of, oh, it's all come back to life again. You know, it was like, wow, you know, people have actually come out and they're actually wanting to spend money. And it was really, really nice to see. So hopefully a lot of businesses will have had a good day yesterday and again today.
Fingers crossed. And for the people who don't know you and who are meeting you for the first time, how would you introduce yourself? You know, tell us a little bit about Kevin.
Oh, well, essentially, I'm Kevin, obviously, and essentially what I do is I help small businesses to crack that, you know, rhythmic acquisition of customers, you know, so getting and keeping the right amount of customers that you need for your business so that you always have, you know, the right amount of money coming in. So, you know that, you know, whatever goals you need to reach by the end of the month, you know, because we all have bills to pay, that you're going to be able to pay them. And that's important in business, you know, because a lot of people set up in business and, you know, they get through the first few months because their friends and family give them help and support, which is fantastic. But they don't really know how to run a business because they've never run one before. So they get stuck as the flow of money starts running out. You know, they're not getting the customers in. And that's where I come in. You know, that's where I come in as a coach and a mentor to, you know, say, look, this is how we do it. This is how we market ourselves properly.
Love it. And have you always been passionate about this?
Yeah, it's one of those that when I first set my very first business up, which is about 10 years ago now, I didn't really know that much. I was in that situation. I didn't know much. So I was getting bits of work off, you know, friends and family, which was fantastic. But, you know, eventually you have to learn how to market yourself so that you can continue getting, you know, the jobs in, because you need the jobs to earn the money to pay the bills so that you can live. And it's that process, you know, people don't necessarily always understand, and you've got to start from scratch sometimes and really look at, right, what is going to work, what does work, what doesn't work, and move forwards in the right direction. And it is a journey. It is a journey for anybody. You know, being an entrepreneur is a fantastic thing, because you can be so creative. You can just let your imagination run wild in a lot of ways. And, you know, to be able to, you know, do something that you really love as your job every day, oh, it's amazing to do. You know, and, you know, now that I'm in the position to be able to help other businesses, you know, who are starting out, or even those that have been in business for years and years, to sort of go, well, look, let's really start making things happen, you know, because the thing that I get out of it is, it's not just, you know, the monetary gain from it, you know, for myself, because obviously I, you know, I charge a fee for my services. It's, you know, the sense of pride I get at, you know, being able to help somebody. You know, they've got to that point where they're perhaps stuck and they're not sure what to do next, and, you know, they want to try and grow their business, or perhaps the business is struggling, and you think, right, well, I can help you, you know, and mm-hmm. when you do get that help and you get the response back and you get that really positive, you know, bit of feedback from them, it's, oh, there's no feeling like that at all. It's fantastic.
I agree. And the thing is, you said a couple of really good, interesting bits and notes that I just want to kind of pick apart. And that is because a lot of people, when they start a business, they do start it because they're passionate about it. They really want to make a difference, or they're really, you know, they've got a lot of drive between one area. And then they start a business and actually realize, oh, crap, I need to do the accounts. I need to sort out processes. I need to do, you know, if I need to get staff or do get contracts in, I need contracts and that kind of stuff. And because that's not where their passions and energies lie, they kind of struggle with that. So it's great having that kind of insight that says you should do what you always want to do, and every day should be kind of, you should be doing what you love. But loads of other stuff happens there, and you can't do it all yourself. You really can't do it all yourself.
Well, that is it. It's, you've hit the nail right on the head there, Gary, because it is one of those that there are so many jobs to do as, you know, a business owner. You know, there is like the accounting to sort out. There is, you know, the finding of new customers. You know, there's, you know, the product making. You know, if you're making your own product, well, you've got to make them, you've got to pack them, you've got to dispatch them. There's so much that needs to be done. And that's before you've even started advertising. You know, so you've got to wear so many different hats. And really, you've got to learn to let go of some of them. I mean, I have an accountant. You know, so yep. My accountant does all my accountancy for me. You know, that's what I pay them for. That is their job at the end of the day. And that is so important, you know, to do. If you can, you know, farm off some jobs to other people, you know, whether it's in your team or outsourced, like my accountant is, then that is so much better, because it leaves you the time to do the job that you need to do, which is, you know, as the business owner, which is the getting and keeping of customers, as well as the actual work as well. So you need to make sure you've divided your time up in the day to be able to do that and really plan and organize things properly.
I love it. And did you, when you kind of started your business over 9 years ago now, did you start to outsource from day one, or did you get to a point where you thought, you know what, I can't keep doing this?
Oh, I think it took me about 6 months, because I started it, I think it was like the late September or something like that. So, of course, the financial year obviously starts at the beginning of April. And so I got to there. I went on the HMRC site to start doing, you know, you're going through doing all the processing there. And I just got so confused with it, because I had no idea. I've never done it before. And it was a god-awful website at the time that HMRC had. And yep. It was just like, I don't even know what to do. I haven't a clue. So I did a quick search, and I asked a few people, and I got my first accountant. And honestly, the weight of relief off that was fantastic, because all of a sudden, I didn't have to deal with HMRC and not know how their system works or anything like that. So I knew then that I had somebody who I would pay every month who can do everything, who knows HMRC, you know, they know all the little tricks of the trade, they can get in, save you money, and all the jobs that an accountant does, they could do it for me. And it was winning straight away after that. And I'd recommend it to anyone. Never do your own accounts.
I did it for the first year, haven't done it since. And straight after I did my first one, it's a case of, you know, there's no point. There's no point. It's not what I'm passionate about. It took me so much longer than it should have done because I didn't outsource it. It was just a complete waste of time. But I am a firm believer, and it could just be me, it might be other people as well, that I want to learn how to do something so I know I can't do it before outsourcing it, because I need that level of understanding. And that could just be me. I don't know. Is it?
That's it. I think there's always got to be that kind of area of trial and error. And that actually comes really good into your marketing as well. You know, is that element of trial and error, because I mean, there's hundreds of different marketing techniques you can use. There's absolutely hundreds. And what works for one business will not necessarily work as well for another. And that's what people forget. So, you know, somebody might do really, really well with Facebook ads, you know, and it might massively drive their business forward. But for somebody else, it could be awful. It could be the complete wrong way to go. They might be better off with doing some neighborhood cards or a leaflet drop. You know, it's that kind of difference, but you've got to be open enough to try all these different things to find out which ones really work. And then when you figure that out, just keep working on those ones, and that really can make a difference to your business.
Love it. I was talking to a window cleaner probably a couple of years ago now. And we were talking about social media, about what he was doing, because that's what I was mainly focusing on that time, social media, rather than podcasting. And he said, you know what, I don't know how I'd use social media, and I don't want to waste, I've got a couple of £100 worth of budget. How would you, Gary, invest it into my business? My customer base is 1 mile away from, I only want to travel 2 miles away from my house, and really only deal with those people there. How would you target it? And I told him, forget Facebook for the time, come back to it later on, print leaflets, distribute them, you know, by hand, follow up with, you know, and then see what happens, and then follow up with the process afterwards. You're reaching your target market at the perfect time of when you want to do it. And there's no point doing social. You can do that another time, or do that after you've delivered, but you just want your message to go to your ideal customer as soon as possible, and in the easiest way, shape, or form that they can absorb. So,
an absolute classic example. And it is one that, you know, for like a window cleaner or a tradesman, you know, is that
exactly
a leaflet drop or a neighborhood card is a fantastic thing. Now the neighborhood cards, they are really, really good. Now, not everybody's heard of these, so I'll just quickly explain what they are.
Yeah.
And basically, if you're like a builder, let's say, and let's say you're doing an extension on somebody's house. Well, you arrive day one, you know, you start doing the extension. Around lunchtime, because everybody sort of noticed that you're there, you give out 15 of these neighborhood cards. And what's on them is you've got the details of who you are, what you're doing at the place that you're doing it. So you put 5 each side of the house that you're working on, and then 5 and the houses opposite, because that is your direct customers there. And the thing is, because you're then going to be there for weeks on end, you know, those, you know, the homeowners will be able to see, oh, look, they've made a really nice job of that extension. You know, oh, we've been wondering about having some building work. It gets the cogs working, and they'll come over. They've got plenty of opportunity to come over and ask, can you give us a quick quote for this? And before you know it, you've got like half of the estate you're doing work for. And it's really quick and really simple, because it only takes 5 minutes to do.
Cleaning service that I recommended someone using, did exactly the same approach in the Birmingham Worcester area last year, and grew his business. It's sometimes the simple stuff that people kind of forget, and they kind of go for the fancy fandangled options, where actually just route one is best.
Thing is that there is a fantastic phrase out there, and that is, simple things done well look good. And that is all that it takes, you know, some really simple things, you know, done well in your business can, oh, they can look amazing, but they're really simple and easy to do.
Brilliant. We could finish the interview there and we'll give so much value. I love it. Let's not, and let's carry on. But no, that is, it's a brilliant phrase, brilliant phrase. In your LinkedIn bio and talking to you, you kind of love the artist and craft world and kind of really helping those kind of businesses. Kind of what attracted you to work with those people to start off with? You know, was it a certain passion of yours or how did you get into it?
There's a bit of a mix really, because, you know, I love, you know, things that are made by hand, you know, and in some ways I'm actually an engineer by trade, you know, and, you know, I love proper old school engineering. So I love steam locomotives, steam engines and that, because you can see how everything works and I just find it so fascinating. So anything that's sort of built by people's bare hands will always fascinate me. And, you know, so that really did lead me down like the artisan and craft world, because it's, in some ways, it's not necessarily a dying art, but it is in some ways, because, you know, these skills need to be passed on to other people, you know, so people can learn them and be creative with their hands. And, you know, it goes back to like blacksmiths and ironmongers and stuff like that. You know, you have people really making some really fancy things, literally from, you know, bits of straight metal binding. How on earth have they made that? So that sort of has always interested me. And the other part of it is that because it is so interesting, the people who make the stuff are generally really creative. So they've got that creative streak in their mind, you know, so they don't necessarily have a plan of how they're going to make this object, but they just make it.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got those magical skills to transform, you know, like I said, like a big piece of sheet metal or, you know, a big blob of clay. You know, and you know, they can make some beautiful, fantastic objects out of it. And it's just so fascinating and so interesting to see that, you know, when somebody's done that you can't not be impressed and you can't not want to help them out. Because the thing is, a lot of these artisans, they are fantastic at what they do. They are absolutely brilliant at what they make. But unfortunately, they're generally really poor at selling. Which is such a shame.
Yeah, and I'll go so far to say generally poor at marketing at the same time, if you're going to separate selling and marketing.
Yeah.
Because I suppose it goes back to the earlier point I made. They're not doing it to spread a word, to make massive amount of money. They're doing it because they're passionate about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it is funny in some respects. It is when you get, you know, they've got these really nice objects and they'll make really nice and then they undervalue themselves.
Oh, completely.
It's like, you know, an arrow through my heart when I see that, you know, when I've been to craft fairs and shows and things in the past and, you know, seeing the thing, you know, it's taken up person like maybe 10 hours or something to make this and, you know, they're then trying to sell it for a fiver. And you think, what? How can you sell that? You know, you've spent ages on that. How do you not value your time, you know, to make that? And it's such a shame.
Yeah, no, I worked with a art festival in the local area for a number of years until the C word kind of came last year. And the year before that, I did a series of videos for them. And I just interviewed three or four, I think it was five people in the act, and made a kind of a collage/video of them making products from start to finish. And it was amazing. You know, we had people kind of working with metal all the way through to beeswax, creating these works of art, which were fantastic. And as you said, you know, 10 hours, 20 hours can go by with them making a piece, and then they'll sell it for kind of not much, but then they'll say to me, well, I can't charge that now because that's too much. And it's like, you're not seeing the amount of time that you're putting into it. They just don't, they need to value themselves so much more.
Yeah, well, that is it. It's getting them to realize that value that they have, is that, you know, they are really skilled craftsmen and women. They really are so skilled in what they do, because, you know, not everybody can blow glass. You know, not everybody can, you know, take a big blob of clay and make a fantastic jug or something out of that, you know, and that is where the value is. It's that real skill set. And you look back, like in the Victorian era, let's say, when things were of high value, and you think, well, yeah, because they paid the trade properly for the value that they give. And the thing is with everything these days is that, yes, you can get a lot of products very quickly, very cheaply from places like China. And, you know, essentially they are, on the whole, fairly good products, but most of them are very, very poor quality. Whereas something that's properly handmade by somebody who's really skilled, I would always pay more for that any time than buy something that's been mass-produced in China or something like that. Because it's just better. You know, it's better quality. Agreed. I know it's better quality. And I appreciate, you know, the time and effort that somebody's actually taken to make that.
I agree. And I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball here and say it's not just artisan and craft people who undervalue themselves and undervalue their businesses. I'm going to say it's probably 80 to 90% of business owners as well.
Yeah, well, that is it. It is one of those. And to be honest, one of the very first things that I do with most of my clients, we actually chuck the prices up, because that is then profit straight to the bottom line, because they've not changed anything else in the business. All they've done is add money to what comes in. So it's straight down, straight to the bottom line. Suddenly there's cash in the bank and you go, well, there we are, biggest thing. But most business owners are so scared of putting the prices up. They're absolutely petrified of it, because they think in the back of their mind, well, if I put my prices up, I'm going to lose my customers, I'm going to lose half of my customers.
Yep.
But if you think about it this way, let's say, for instance, you had 100 customers already, you know, and they were paying you regularly, you know, so they were coming in quite often, and you decided, right, I'm going to double my prices, and you think, oh my God, I'm going to lose half of my customers. Okay, you've lost 50 customers, but you're still getting the amount of pay for 100, and you've suddenly got 100 more customers, you know, 50 more customers you could bring in, so you could then actually double your income straight away. And once people get their head around that, there we go, game changer straight away.
Yeah. No, I, as someone who struggled with pricing throughout the years that I've been in business, purely because I started it for free, if I could give out all my information for free, I would easily, I would. But that doesn't sadly pay the bills, and you've still got to do stuff around it. And actually, you know, go increasing prices, you'll always find people who will say, no, it's too expensive. And if you don't, that for me is a red flag straight away. You need to raise your prices up, because you should naturally have those kind of people who say, I'm not sure. But then that's when the value comes into it. And as someone who struggled with their pricing, as we're talking about pricing, I don't think people really value free now, based on my experiences. And there's an apprehension that actually free is low quality or low value.
Yeah, yeah, that is starting to come through, is that these days, because everything is pretty much available at our fingertips, you know, it's literally a press of a button on a smartphone, isn't it? You can find out what's going on anywhere in the world. Yes. You know, so everything happens so fast. But when it comes to like service providers, like us both here, you know, there is that difference, is that it takes a bit of time, you know, it's our physical time. Now, you know, we only get one chance to be, you know, around on this planet, you know, so we've got to make the most of it. And, you know, because time and our lives are finite, essentially, you know, we've only got a set amount of time. And, you know, it's one of those that people don't necessarily understand that, you know, because they're so used to having everything so fast and so quickly, because technology gives us that. But what it takes away from us is the ability to understand that somebody actually has to take their time to put something together to help you, and it's that you pay for. You know, it's that is what you pay for at the end of the day. You know, I mean, my fees are very, very reasonable for small business owners, you know, and they are very easily achievable. But some people still go, oh, that's too much. But it's not. In the grand scheme of things, it's actually very, very mid-priced. You know, I'm not way at the top, but again, I'm not giving everything away for free because I can't afford to do that.
No. No, and that's fair. And that is completely fair. I've just got so many kind of ideas in my head that it's just going whoosh. But I know we've kind of spoke about your different businesses in the past that you've been through. And you're now working with a coaching company.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned that coaching company yet. And I think it's about time. Let's just throw it out there. So, Kevin, what's the coaching company you work for?
Well, I'm actually in partnership with the Entrepreneurs Circle.
Partnership, not working for folks. Partnership. Yeah,
there is. It's a partnership. I'm affiliated with them. So basically, my story with the Entrepreneurs Circle goes back about 5 or 6 years. I happened to pick up a book written by Nigel Bottrell, who is the owner of the Entrepreneurs Circle, or EC as it's more commonly known. So I'll refer to it like that from now on, because it's easier than trying to say Entrepreneurs Circle all the time. And essentially, you know, Nigel Bottrell has built 9 million-plus pound businesses. You know, so he knows his stuff, you know, and the team that he has there have got so much information of cheat sheets, help, advice, support, you know, live events, whatever it is, there's so much help there for any business that, you know, is fantastic. I mean, at the moment, they have over 50,000 members, and in the last few years, 100, what was it? I can't remember the exact figure, but something like 98% of them have doubled their business by 100% in like 2 years or something like that of being members of the EC. And it's a fantastic organisation. And what they have done is they've actually created what is called, I'll actually grab it here, is this wonderful thing, which is the Entrepreneurs Marketing and Sales System. And this basically is the absolute well-proven guide for any business to get and keep customers. You know, this genuinely does crack the rhythmic acquisition of customers. So basically what happens is, and this is what I've been taught to teach, you know, as a mentor. So I went through their training program, very, very intensive training program, and I'm qualified as one of their coaches. And basically what we do is we connect with small businesses that want, you know, help, that need help and advice, and we go through everything. So we look first of all at what the gap is. So we look at where they are now and where they want to be. You know, be it 12 weeks, 12 months, 5 years, whatever it is. You know, so if they want, right, we want to be a £1 million business, right? Well, let's work out how we're going to do it. So we then reverse engineer it, see, right, we need X amount of customers paying X amount for that. We then sort of go through and see what is actually working in the business. You know, how are they getting customers at the moment? So is it Facebook ads? Is it Google ads? Is it leaflet drops? What works best for their business? So we go through that, and then we get all the content of that right. So we make sure that all the copy and all the content of it really sings to their ideal customers, who they really want spending the money. And of course, as part of it, we've got to track everything. You know, so we make sure that we track everything that we do. You know, so we work out, right, how many people joined the mailing list this week? You know, how many sales have we had? How much has gone out? We track literally everything that we do in the business. We track so we know exactly what's going on, what needs improving, what perhaps needs dropping off, maybe what we need to add, you know, to make things happen. And then, you know, if needs be, you know, we can go through it again and again. And it is a fantastic system. And it really does work. I mean, I've been through it 2 or 3 times myself with my previous businesses, you know, doing this, and it genuinely does work. When you get that absolutely right, and all you need to do is maintain it, it becomes so easy, you know, because then you can do like 90 minutes every day focusing on, right, what is going to bring the money into the business today, and then the rest of the day is yours to do, you know, whether it is like making items or whatever. You know, the rest of the day is yours to play with. It's just fantastic to do.
As you said earlier, and what Jody's put in the comments, it's about simple things.
Yeah.
It is about the simple things. Right. And actually spending 90 minutes focused on what needs to be done can replace a whole day's worth of faff easily.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And the thing is, a lot of it as well, you know, particularly those foundation blocks, you know, of the stuff that brings – the customers into your business, they're so simple and they're easy to implement. It's not, it doesn't have to be a super duper complex, fantastic system that is so difficult to work with. It can just be simple. I mean, most people don't realize that you can actually just spend £1 a day on basic Facebook ads just to build your Facebook page likes up. £1 a day. And you think, well, you do that, you then post interesting comments and, you know, and put interesting posts and stuff out, they'll buy, people will buy eventually. And it's all it's costing is £1 a day. So it's not expensive. It doesn't cost the world to do. It just takes time to put into place and get it properly working.
And I think that's the key to it, isn't it? It's about getting it properly working and giving it time to actually do its job. Because a lot of people might want quick wins, especially with Facebook ads, which take time to narrow down your audience and target it. Organic social, when you're liking and commenting and sharing and building those relationships, it all takes time.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's recommended that to go through the first round of that system takes a year. It takes a whole year, a whole 12 months to properly implement that into your business. And I have actually come up with a streamlined version of it, which takes about 12 weeks. But it's just not as comprehensive because you cannot squeeze all that in to that time frame. It's just impossible to do. But what my streamlined system would do is get you on that road. It'd get you moving in the right direction. So you wouldn't see perhaps as bigger changes to it, but you would see improvements. But the full system, you know, does actually have the potential to not only double your profits, but actually allow you to have a pay rise every other month. It can do that. You know, if it's put in properly, it genuinely can change your life. And it took a lot of work for the team at EC to put together. You know, they're working on it for at least 3 years before they released it, to make sure that it did actually do the job that they wanted it to do. You know, like I said, it's been tested through hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses now. It's just fantastic.
Well, to be fair, the numbers that you said right at the start, you know, they're impressive numbers. They're big numbers. And, you know, if they're going to hang their hats on a system, a roadmap to help businesses, they've got to do it. They've got to make sure it works. They do. I don't know if it's because I haven't personally been on it, and I can talk about all the stuff that I've personally been through. But if you've got a business who's potentially kind of a millionaire, and do I carry on? Do I not? Is it profitable? Is it making a loss? All that kind of stuff. But sounds fair. That 12-week roadmap that you've created from that kind of the main part, that could be the difference between the business carrying on and business not.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is one of those things that with that 12-week one, because it's streamlined, it's that minimized, it's that whole system minimized. So we just get the very basic essentials that genuinely work in that business working properly. You know, so that business owner knows, right, to get to that in 12 weeks time, we've got to focus on that, and that is the only thing they can focus on. You know, so that we don't go through and try and add, you know, 20 odd different marketing pillars or foundation blocks. We just focus on like half a dozen that actually work, you know, and we move that business in the right direction so that they know that's the bread and butter work. You know, so we avoid getting like the new shiny objects like Clubhouse on and stuff like that. We just go, right, this is what works, this has worked before, let's try it and move on with it and get it going and get them hopefully on the right path.
Love it. And Clubhouse will be a different conversation for a different day. Purely because actually no, stuff it. Let's just throw it in. Couple of minutes on Clubhouse. My thoughts really quickly are that it's early days for Clubhouse. It will evolve into version 2.0, 3.0, you know, over the next 6 months, which will be a different beast to what it is now. It reminds me of early Periscope, where people are finding their feet, early Twitter, where people are kind of doing that. I never personally got into it because I saw it as a very big time drain. My ideal customers weren't on there, so therefore I didn't spend much time on there. And I think it will be absorbed eventually into a social media platform somewhere else. who doesn't need the followers but might need the infrastructure that Clubhouse has got. So the framework and the wire kind of around it. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, but to us, I've had so many sort of invites to go on to Clubhouse. I mean, I'm not on Apple anyway, so I can't join it anyway. But to me, it does just seem like the very latest shiny object. That, oh, you must be on Clubhouse, you must be on Clubhouse. But, you know, this is the thing. It's then another distraction from what focusing you building your business. You know, if you, particularly if you are a business owner. The other thing, I was talking to a customer earlier, one of my clients earlier, and they were talking about it, incidentally. And I said, well, how do you get customers out of it? Well, we don't. Right, well, why are you wasting your time on it? You know, shouldn't you be doing something that is more worthwhile and more productive to your, to you moving towards your goal? Don't forget, you know, at the end of the month, you want to be there, and we're not there yet. Why are we not moving there? Well, it's because you're wasting so much time in Clubhouse. But they did give some interesting pointers about it. Is that it doesn't actually save any of the conversations on it.
No, it doesn't.
Which, to me, seemed a bit of a surprise, because if somebody was doing, you know, like a professional speaker on it or something like that, you'd think that you'd want to have that recorded so that then you could perhaps share it out with your audience to go, right, well, I did this speech, you know, this you know, whatever it is, this chat or whatever, and, you know, here's the highlights from it. You'd think that you'd be able to do that. So maybe if Clubhouse, you know, developed and started doing that kind of thing, it could become a lot more user-friendly for business owners. But at the moment, I think it is just a bit of a fad, and like I say, it is very early Twitter type. It does give me those kind of reminders, like, okay, you know, when we first went on Twitter, everybody followed Stephen Fry, you know, and you know, if you got a tweet of Stephen Fry, it's like, oh my God, Stephen Fry. I mean, I follow Stephen Fry on Twitter, but hey. Well, that's because I like him as a man. He's a fantastic bloke, is Stephen Fry. I've certainly got a lot of time for him if, you know, we ever get the chance to meet. I can't really see Clubhouse becoming a big player at the moment until it starts improving and doing other things.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely in terms of the minutes. I think recording would lead dense monetization, would then lead to bigger infrastructure. But to get to that stage, you know, you've got to make sure that none of the other competitors, as in the social media networks, you know, don't develop their own, and they already are. They're already kind of 60%, 70%, 80% there. They don't need Clubhouse's audiences because they're all on their social media platforms. Yeah. They're all going to be on, you know, Facebook already. They're all most likely to be on LinkedIn already. They just need that infrastructure. So that's why I think version 2.0, 3.0, with the recordings being made available, even if it's to a select group of people, and then Clubhouse monetizing it, that could be the next stage to kind of grow that. We will see. We will see.
Indeed, we will. It is one of those that, you know, it's because everybody is already on every social network anyway, it is a very crowded market.
Yes.
You know, for social networks, it's very crowded because we have got Facebook, everybody's on it. Twitter, most people are on it. You know, Instagram, most people are on it. You know, there's, you know, YouTube again. Is there are so many platforms out there. Do we really need another one? That is a question, isn't it? It's because it's a
big question.
Yeah, do we need another social media platform? Personally, I don't think we do, because I think we've got enough already, because it's just the same stuff on every single platform then. And you think, well, what's the point? We might as well just have one.
Yeah, and we're going into uncharted territory here, talking about all this kind of stuff. And actually, I would love to have a chat. And we must help. We could organise it. We've got people in the field. That actually, we can talk about the future of social media and marketing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That would actually be a really interesting show, because there are people who believe that actually, at one point in time, be that 15, 20 years later time, we do unify. And it becomes one social network rather than individual different types with different sets. I wouldn't put it against it. Whether that will happen, you know, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line, I can see it. But that's where the future is. That's where kind of AI. That's when kind of different stuff comes in. to it. We've been talking for nearly 40 minutes, dude, which has been fantastic. I'm going to kind of round it off by asking you a couple of quick questions, if that's okay. And then I will urge people to please connect with you on socials. First of all, before we kind of go into your kind of big tips, where can people find you on social? Are you on LinkedIn, Facebook, where do you hang out?
I'm fairly easy to find on Facebook and LinkedIn. That is, to be honest, that is the only place that you will actually find me as a business mentor. Because my Instagram I keep for my own personal use, and so my Twitter. It's just my own choice. I'd rather not waste my time out there on the bigger platform. So yeah, LinkedIn for me, because I'm business to business, and that is the place to be for business to business people. And again, Facebook, because, well, everybody needs a Facebook page.
love it. And just before we kind of go, I just want you to land a few kind of nuggets of kind of pure gold for our viewers and listeners. Now, there's one question that I kind of prepped you for. I'm going to ask you a second question, which you're not prepped for. So I'm going to love to see your answer. And I'm building it in just to make sure to leave that kind of anticipation level kind of go a little bit higher.
Go on.
So first question you're prepared for. So if you're going to literally give the viewer and the listener one thing to kind of take away, what would it be? What's your one big takeaway point from this whole interview?
I would say the biggest takeaway would be to look at your pricing. But yeah, have a serious look at your pricing, because chances are it is too low. And if you want to make a quick win and, you know, not, you know, and you actually get some cash into your business fairly quickly, then just by adding a couple of quid onto your services or your products, if you're selling products, can make a big difference, because the money is out there. You know, people are willing to spend, and they will pay if you've got a good product or service. So yeah, put your prices up.
Brilliant. And just to kind of second that, Kevin is the second business coach within the space of 4 weeks that I've gone live with who has used pricing as their fundamental one to take away.
Well, there we are. Look at that.
It's not just, you know, this guy's got the smarts, but it's so true. You need to make sure your pricing is there. It's fundamental. Kevin, what is the future? What does the future look like for Kevin? What are you going to be doing in a couple of years' time? We're talking about the future with social media stuff. I thought I'd throw it out there. This is the question you're not prepared for. So what's Kevin doing in a couple of years' time?
Oh, well, I suppose it'll be helping, and I've helped a lot of small businesses. Yeah, so I'll hopefully have a nice full set of books, which would be good. My 5-year plan is actually to build my own house. I've always wanted to build my own house, and of course it has to be. It'll be completely modern, very eco-friendly, but it's going to be in 1920s Art Deco style.
Mixing the old and the new.
Yeah, so it's going to look very period, very stylish, you know, proper Art Deco. Think, you know, Jeeves and Worcester, Poirot kind of thing, that proper style. Because I just think that era of time, that 1920s, early 30s, was such a fantastic era for design. And, you know, I think, yeah, if I can, you know, raise the funds, you know, which I'm looking at least $500,000 to build this, build this house, have it, and I think, you know, if it's completely and utterly eco-friendly, that'll just be fantastic to be able to do.
Fully wooden?
Maybe. I'm not quite decided. It may be. We'll have to see. Have to see what the developments are on it. You know, in 5 years' time, a lot of things can change. You know, it's obviously like building materials are changing all the time and that. But yeah, it'll be something, you know, fantastic. Absolutely amazing, especially if I can do it. If I can do it, it'll be great.
What a goal, what a plan. I love it. Kevin, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
Honestly, people, connect with Kevin on LinkedIn. Contact him via email. I will put his details into the discussion, into the show notes. If you listen to the podcast, if you're watching it, I'll put details to contact him. And if you've got any questions, put me into the chat. I'll fire them to Kevin. Thank you very much if you've been watching live. Jody Fletcher, from Chili Promotion. She's put into the comments, and if you can see it, it says dream, believe, achieve, you know, and that's brilliant. Kevin, thank you very much, very, very, very much for your time.
Oh, pleasure.
Cheers for being on the show. Let's get you back again. And how 3rd of May, please apply for Speaker Grow Live 2021. I'll tell you more about it off air.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you, Kevin, for being part of the show. And I'll see you all later. I'm going to finish it there. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.